بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله. We continue with our discussion on فضائل القرآن. And last night we were discussing just one hadith concerning the virtues of the Quran. And tonight, inshallah, we'll be looking at four virtues. The first virtue is the virtue of successive recitations of the Quran, meaning reciting the Quran from the beginning to the end and starting over again, and then reading another, and then another, and then another. Not just reading once a year, as we often do in Ramadan, but all of the time. And the virtue of this is established in a number of hadith. The first is recorded by Imam al-Tirmidhi, who relates or records from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who mentions that a man went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, which deed is most beloved to Allah? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that of the one who recites the Quran from the beginning to the end and starts afresh each time he completes it. That is the first narration. And this is all about consistency and continuity. And because of this virtue of reciting the Quran from the beginning to the end and starting over again, because of this virtue, we find that the ulama have recommended that whenever you do a khatam of the Qur'an, you don't just stop at Surah An-Nas. In fact, when you finish Surah An-Nas, what do? You go right back to Surah Al-Fatiha, and you recite Surah Al-Fatiha, and you recite the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah up to the seventh ayah. And this is basically symbolic of a person never stopping, continuing with their recitations of the Qur'an until they leave this world. So this hadith shows us the importance of consistency and continuity. The second virtue is about the fact that the Qur'an, or reciting the Qur'an, is considered one of the most superior good deeds you can do. There are so many hadith in which a person would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and say, Ya Rasulullah, what action or what deed is superior? And in different contexts, he would say different things. For some people, he would say establishing the salat on time. For others, he would say dutifulness to one's parents, birr al-walidain. For others, he would say jihad fi sabilillah. And these are not contradictions, but he's speaking to that person in what is superior for them in particular. So likewise, we have a narration which mentions recitation of the Qur'an as being the most superior good deed you can do. And this is in the hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, who mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the most superior act of worship for my ummah is recitation of the Qur'an. Notice the difference. Here he's not talking to a specific person. He's talking about the entire ummah. And he says, the best or most superior act of worship for my ummah is recitation of the Qur'an. And this is in the Sunan of Imam al-Bayhaqi. We find a similar narration from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who really echoes what is said in this hadith, because he, the Sahabi, said, the most superior act of worship is recitation of the Qur'an. And in a hadith recorded by Al-Imam Ad-Daylami in Musnad Al-Firdaus, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu relates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَعْبَدُ النَّاسِ, the most devout of people in ibadah, are those who recite the Qur'an most frequently. So that is the second virtue. So the first one is successive completions of the Qur'an. The second virtue is just the fact that it's considered among the most superior acts of worship. The third virtue is that the reciter of the Qur'an receives a reward for every single letter they recite. And this is also a very famous hadith that many are familiar with. And that hadith comes from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He relates, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever recites a single letter from the book of Allah shall have a single good deed. And a single good deed is multiplied tenfold, times ten. And I do not say that Alif Lam Mim is a single letter. Rather, Alif is a letter. Lam is a letter and Mim is a letter. This hadith is actually quite profound because as a Shaykh Abdullah Sirajuddin al-Husayni says, this hadith is also a proof that you receive massive rewards for reciting the Quran, even if you recite it without understanding. Because that's often the question. Do we just recite words that we don't understand? Of course, there's a virtue in learning, and that's the purpose of the Quran, to understand what it says. But that does not deny that there is a reward for the one who recites it, even if they don't understand everything. Because Alif Lam Mim is not understood by most people, yet there's a reward in reciting it. So if the reward was only connected to understanding, then a person who doesn't know Alif Lam Mim would not get a reward. But here you see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying that a person receives a reward for every single letter. And this is one reason also why in the field of ulumul Quran, the sciences of the Quran, there's a subgenre or discussion in that science about how many ayat are in the Quran and how many letters are in the Quran. And it's not so easy to establish how many letters are in the Quran because you have different considerations in terms of the qira'at and the rasm al-mushaf and things like that. But ulama did try to count literally how many letters are contained in the Quran, and they came with different conclusions based on how a verse is read, right? Maliki Yawmiddin versus Maliki Yawmiddin, whether you have the edif or you don't have the edif. Rasm al-mushaf, is it considered, or do you look at only what is written? You know, there's different considerations, but according to Imam an-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayh, he comments on this hadith and he says, know that the sound and preferred position is that the relied upon view among ulama is that recitation of the Quran is superior to tasbih and is superior to invoking la ilaha illallah and other forms of remembrance. So if you look at dhikr as a broad category and you have alhamdulillah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah and other forms of adhkar, and Quran is included in that among the adhkar, Quran is always going to be superior. This is what Imam an-Nawawi says. And this is supported by another hadith recorded by at-Tirmidhi and at-Darimi, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the excellence of Allah's speech over all other speech is like the excellence of Allah over His creation. When you say subhanallah, that's your speech. When you say alhamdulillah, that's your speech. But when you recite the Quran, you're reciting Allah's speech. The only exception to that is if a person was saying subhanallah with the intention of qira'ah. Right? So this, and there's, because there are ayat in which Allah says subhanallah, or He says alhamdulillah, and so on. That's the third virtue. The fourth virtue that we're covering tonight is concerning al-mahir bil-Qur'an. Al-mahir here means the skillful reciter of the Qur'an or the skillful memorizer of the Qur'an. There is a hadith from Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha in which she relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who is mahir bil-Qur'an, which means they are skillful and adept in their recitation of the Quran, that person is in the company of the noble, righteous, angelic safara, which I'll leave untranslated for now. We have to explain what that means. Al-kiram al-barara. These are a category of angels. And he says, and the one who recites the Quran with a stutter, and he finds its recitation difficult, shall have twofold reward. So this hadith describes the one who's skillful and the one who struggles with reciting the Quran. Both have a reward. But we find from this hadith that those who are skillful, they still take the grander prize. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَنْ يَشَاء. So here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses the word or the phrase al-mahir bil Quran. Now the word mahir means the one who is skillful, the one who is capable and proficient, the one who is experienced in their recitation of the Quran. According to Imam An-Nawawi, who comments on this hadith, he says that the mahir is the one who is skillful and proficient in his memorization, and he neither wavers nor finds it difficult to recite beautifully from his memory and from his mastery. So that hadith says that the one who is of that quality, al-mahir bil Quran, he says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that person is in the company of the noble and righteous angelic safara. Who are the safara? The safara, I leave it untranslated simply because there's different opinions about what exactly it means. There is one of you that says that the angels that are called the safara are the angelic scribes. Others say that the safara are the angels that carry al-lawh al-mahfuz. And this is taken from the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِأَيْدِي سَفَرَ كِرَامٍ بَرَرَى. In the hands of scribes, noble and good. So they're given this description as safara because they transport the heavenly scriptures revealed to the prophets. Because the safir is the ambassador, right? And the word safara comes from safar, which means to travel, to represent as a safir, as a traveling envoy or ambassador. That is the standard view, that the angels that are safara are the noble angelic scribes, that they write the record of the actions of people, or they are the ones who bear al-lawh al-mahfuz, the preserved tablet. But there's another view, which says that the safara are simply a category of elite angels who enjoy a very special proximity and closeness to Allah Ta'ala. According to the great Qadir Iyad, in his commentary on Sahih Muslim, as he speaks about this hadith, he says that it's plausible that this means that such a person, the one who's skilled in the recitation of the Quran, is plausible that this means that they will be in the company of the angels, in the sense that in the hereafter, that person will have a station in proximity to those safara angels. Why? He answers, because he assumes their quality of bearing the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran, the content of the divine speech, is inscribed on the preserved tablet, and there are angels that bear the preserved tablet. So those who bear the Quran and memorizing it skillfully, they share with these angels in that proximity and in that station, because they too bear the Quran in having memorized it. So he says he assumes their quality of bearing the book of Allah. He says it's also plausible that it means this person, the skillful reciter, perform their actions and also tread their path, meaning in preserving and conveying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, earlier we said that this hadith gives us two types of people: the one who is skilled in reciting the Quran and memorizing it, and the one who stutters and finds some difficulty in reciting the Quran. The second part mentions that individual has twofold reward. They have the reward for what they're memorizing and learning, and also the reward for the mashaqqa, the difficulty that they find in reading it and in memorizing it. But at the end of the day, between those two, still the mahir, the one who's skillful, he's going to have a higher rank. Now, Imam An-Nawawi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he spoke about this. And he said that concerning the person who stutters or who finds difficulty in reciting the Qur'an, he says this refers to the one who falters in his recitation because of his weak memorization. He shall have two rewards, he says. A reward for his recitation and a reward for his stuttering recitation and his difficulty. Qadir Iyad, however, says that this does not mean that the one who stutters in his recitation has a reward greater than the skillful reciter. You get double reward, but doesn't mean you have more reward than the skillful reciter, he says. Rather, the adept reciter is superior, he says, and has a greater reward because why? He's in the company of the Safara angels. He's in their company and he has abundant rewards as well. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not mention that station for anyone other than al-mahir bil-Qur'an. He says, and how can one who did not apply himself diligently to the book of Allah join the one who applied himself diligently to its memorization, mastery, frequent recitation, and transmission until becoming proficient therein? Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, and Allah knows best. So here we have four virtues. And as we said in the beginning of this program, each night, inshallah, we'll be looking at a few different virtues connected to the Qur'an. And so tonight we learned four virtues. So we learned the virtue of successive khatams of the Qur'an and starting over again and then over again. We learned that reciting the Qur'an is considered the most superior good deed. And we learned that the reciter receives rewards for every single letter. And we learned about the virtue of the skillful reciter and the reward for the one who struggles with it. If you struggle with it, it doesn't mean that you're going to be stuck in that position for the rest of your life. You have to work with it. Jahid to shahid, as they say. Struggle and you will witness. Work hard over time and you will get there. The person who is stuttering and struggling in the beginning, it is not impossible that they ascend to the level of al-mahir bil-Qur'an. Everyone has to start somewhere. The problem is people, as we noted a few days ago, they get frustrated with themselves. They expect perfection, right? They expect that if I apply myself for a few weeks and I can't master it the way I hear it from masterful reciters, it must not be for me. We can't be satisfied with that. It's not that you have to be, you know, Imam al-Qurra or Shaykh al-Qurra fil asr, you know, the master reciter of your age. But skillfulness is something that takes time. Ta'allum in Arabic means a process. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. The best of you is the one who learns the Qur'an and teaches it to others. In Arabic, ta'allam is from ta'allum, ta'allama yata'allamu ta'alluman. This form, verb, tafa'ala, indicates, or we should say implies, something that takes time, something that requires effort, something that does not come overnight and does not always come easy. So that's what learning is about in any endeavor. And so this hadith should be an encouragement for those who are on their journey, those who are struggling and beginning their journey, and those who have become masterful in memorizing and in reciting. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.